From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the book of Joshua. Today, he continues a message bearing the title, Caleb. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, please give your attention to this brief devotional thought by C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Desires of Righteous Granted. The text is Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 24. The desire of the righteous shall be granted. Because it is a righteous desire, it is safe for God to grant it. It would be neither good for the man himself nor for society at large that such a promise should be made to the unrighteous. Let us keep the Lord's commands, and He will rightfully have respect to our desires. When righteous men are left to desire unrighteous desires, they will not be granted to them. But then, these are not their real desires. They are their wanderings or blunders, and it is well that they should be refused. Their gracious desires shall come before the Lord, and He will not say them nay. Does the Lord deny us our requests for a time? Let the promise for today encourage us to ask again. Has He denied us altogether? We will thank Him still, for it always was our desire that He should deny us if He judged a denial to be best. As to some things, we ask very boldly. Our chief desires are for holiness, usefulness, likeness to Christ, preparedness for heaven. These are the desires of grace rather than of nature, the desires of the righteous man rather than of the mere man. God will not stint us in these things, but will do for us exceeding abundantly. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. This day, my soul, ask largely.
Thank you.
One of the chief characteristics of the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century was the preeminent place given to the Bible. The Reformers' motto was, "The Bible alone, the religion of the Protestants." Men such as Martin Luther and John Knox insisted that the Holy Scriptures contain everything necessary for Christian faith and practice. It is important for believers in the 21st century to understand the central significance of the Bible in daily living and in the battle for spiritual truth. Let the Bible Speak is making available free of charge a booklet called The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, published by the Trinitarian Bible Society. To obtain your copy, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, you may simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, and we'll be delighted to provide it. In Joshua chapter 14 and portions of chapter 15, we find the record of a man who was particularly distinguished for his faith in the promises of God. Caleb was one of the 12 men chosen to spy out the land of Canaan. Only he and Joshua had brought back an encouraging report, whereas the others discouraged the heart of the people, resulting in the 40 years of wilderness wandering and the deaths of all who were 20 years old and upward. At that time, God had given Caleb a promise of inheritance in the land. Now, at the age of 85, Caleb requested of Joshua permission to possess his inheritance. The first thing we learned about Caleb is his total consecration to God. Looking back over 40 years, he could testify, "I wholly followed the Lord my God." Then we've seen Caleb's discipleship, for he was also a man who walked after God, living a life of faithful obedience to his heavenly Father. Furthermore, Caleb walked for God, as he was an example and a testimony to those around him. Caleb's courage characterized both his youth and his old age. He displayed fearlessness in the face of powerful enemies, and even in the face of his own countrymen. Caleb was a man who had the courage of his conviction, no matter what the opposition. Now to continue this message, Caleb, here is Dr. Cairns.
When you draw aside all the mysterious talk with which preachers surround the subject of consecration, this is at the heart of it, an obedience to the Word of God. A belief in the Word of God. What God says He means and will do. And then the pleading in prayer of the promises of God. The man who walks in obedience, who lives by faith, and who is praying through on the basis of the Word of God, that man, like Caleb, knows the secret of a consecrated life. His consecration. That's the first remarkable element in the life of the wholehearted servant of God. But then we remark Caleb's courage. The world has seen many conspicuous examples of courage. Last year, visiting the area called Picardy in northwestern France, I saw the graves of countless thousands of those brave soldiers from the Allied armies from the First World War. I saw Englishmen and Irishmen and Welshmen and Scotchmen and Americans and Canadians in the trimly kept but seemingly never-ending graves of Picardy. They were brave men. I read just this week of an incident in one of the Austrian wars of the last century, when Austria had taken an awful beating and her soldiers were scattered and in retreat. A young man was found lying on the ground. His life at that point was perfectly savable. As he lay there, he said to the medics from the opposing army, "Leave me, help someone else." And he would not be helped. When they came back, he was dead. When they lifted the body, they found the reason why he would not receive help. He was lying on the colors of his regiment. As a brave soldier, he chose death rather than surrender his regimental colors. The world has seen many examples of conspicuous bravery, but I tell you, there have been few to compare with Caleb. If you ever had to do any Latin, you will have had to read Caesar's Gallic Wars, one of the essential Latin readers you've got to do. And whether you've ever done Latin or not, you'll have heard of Julius Caesar and the famous statement, the three verbs in Latin beginning with the letter V, veni, vidi, vici. I came, I saw, I conquered. That was Caesar's boast. I came, I saw, I conquered. Well, I think that Caleb has an even better claim on the motto than Julius Caesar. He could say, I came, I saw, for he was one of the spies, and I conquered. Here's his courage. Caleb faced the fiercest of enemies without fear. When he went into the promised land, he saw the sons of Anak, and they struck terror into the hearts of most of the others who were with him. They struck no terror into the heart of Caleb. He faced the fiercest of enemies without fear. And when he finally came into the land, and he had to make good in what he said about his ability with God's grace and power to overcome them, He again faced them without fear. Many ways he was just like David many years later, when David said to the Philistine Goliath, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel." You know, I feel that that fearless stand for God is one of the most important elements in the testimony of the Church of Christ, and yet it is something that seems to be conspicuous by its absence. In this land, we are not normally put in a position of having to fear the bomb or the bullet because of your stand for God. But I do believe that the Church of Christ has too often given up great areas of the nation because of fear. I think there is a fear of the academics of America. There's a fear of the pseudoscientists of America. There is a fear of these very learned people who sit in the ivory towers of their universities and they pontificate on all sorts of things. There is an evidence of that fear in the way that Christian scholars even respond to these people. I have often said, and I know this puts me among the spiritual Philistines as far as many are concerned, but I still believe it, that when the Church of Christ is forced back upon its methods of apologetics, it's thrown into all these philosophies for defending the faith, it is usually an indication that it has lost the spiritual power of God. You see, when the gospel is preached in the power of the Holy Ghost, you don't need any apologetics to win the day. You don't need any philosophers to come along to help your arguments. When men preach the gospel in the power of the Holy Ghost, there is nothing can stop their preaching. They fear nobody, and they have no need to fear anybody, because God is with them. They come not with the sword and the spear and the shield of worldly wisdom, but they come in the name of the Lord of hosts. Paul the Apostle, when he went to Corinth, said he went there feeling his weakness, but determined to do nothing among them, save Christ and Him crucified. The doctrines of the grace of God preached in the power of God will overcome every foe. They will overcome every stronghold. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. In the realm of Christian apologetics, there has been for the last half century a great debate. I'm not going to try and get into that debate or even explain it to you today. But I have a great admiration for the stand and the statements of the late Dr. Cornelius Van Til. And again, I dare not try to explain, especially in a few minutes, the deep and tremendous thought of Van Til, in many ways the leading apologist of his day. But if there's one thing that a Christian learns from reading the great man's writings, it's this. Don't think that you will overcome the unbelief of the skeptic by rational argument. Now, this is coming from one of the greatest reasoners and philosophers in the world in his day. Don't think that's how you'll win them. Don't think that we share a body of common ground with the mind of the ungodly, a body of common facts, and if we can only make them see the facts, that they will get right with God. He's saying that is not true. Men are enemies of God. Their minds are blinded to God's truth. They are willfully ignorant. The greatest use of logic is to show the illogicality of the so-called logical statements of those who reject the gospel. But this was the nub of Van Til's thinking. Christians should go out fearlessly and preach the gospel, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Go out and preach the gospel. We serve the living God. We serve the risen Christ. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Let us preach that gospel. And remember, it is God who enlightens the mind. It is God by His Spirit who renews the will. It is God who effectually calls the sinner. It is God who regenerates the dead soul. It is God who gives life through the preaching of the gospel. So let us preach the gospel without fear. Let us storm the battlements of the strongholds of the devil without fear. Let us not think we are poor, we are puny, we are small, we are few. These things may be true, but they don't touch the subject or the issue, which is our God is omnipotent. That's what Caleb felt. He faced the fiercest foes without fear. God give us that kind of courage. Courage that sees the strength of the opposition, but sees the greatness of our Redeemer. Caleb's courage was seen just as conspicuously in his own nation when he stood alone and proclaimed faith in the presence of unbelief. Sometimes that's the greatest courage we have to show. I'm thinking of a Baptist brother, our brother Dr. Rod Bell. Rod told me himself. And when I came back some years ago from Ulster, I was introduced to the subject of revival in a biblical sense. Not a Wednesday to Sunday meeting or a Sunday to Wednesday meeting, but I was burdened to pray as I met with men who were praying for revival. I was burdened to pray for revival. He started back in the States to preach on revival and praying for revival. He said, I had Baptist pastors, my brethren, who came to me and warned me of how I was going wrong. Can you imagine? He was warned that that was not something that they would stand for. I'm glad that Rod told them, I will pray for revival, and I will preach for revival, and I will wait for revival, whether fundamental Baptist brethren are with me or against me. God honored that stand, and 3 years ago, in a 6-month-long movement of the Spirit of God, they saw, the last count I knew, almost 1,000 people saved. And you had heathens, Hindu doctors from the local hospital coming in, crying, I need to be saved. You're seeing a move of God. A blessed answer to prayer. But I want to tell you, it took grace and courage to proclaim faith in the face of unbelief. We read the words of the psalmist concerning the Israelites, the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. That's what was happening at Kadesh Barnea. They were turning back in unbelief. But with Joshua, there was just one man standing saying, we have seen it, and the land is one we can take.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.